The second speaker is Mr. Tambese Mulambo. He is the lecturer in Awasa University School of Law, which is there. His topic is Rights of Church Employees and Religious Autonomy, the case of Ikeda. Please, Tambese.
The Ethiopian Cassation Court, the highest court, has ruled that persons who are providing religious services have no right to bring a court case. So the justification is that separation of state and religion bans the courts from reviewing the decisions made by religious institutions. So I would like to examine the validity of this decision from a comparative perspective and relevant legal instruments. So the content of this presentation is number one, on how to balance the two interests, i.e. there's a desire to guarantee religious autonomy for religious institutions, and there is also on the other hand a desire to protect the rights of religious persons working for religious institutions. Secondly, I'll talk about foreign experiences, focusing on the US cases and the European Court of Human Rights. And then I will proceed to Ethiopian legal regime with regard to this issue. So to start with the Ethiopian legal system, or especially the constitution, in Article 11, the constitution says that state and religion are separate, and Article 11, sub-article 3, says that state shall not interfere in religious matters, and religion shall not interfere in state matters. So that is the basis of the ruling made by the Cassation Court. So the questions are this. Number one, does the separation of state and religion under the constitution justify this denial of access to court? Is it acceptable in light of human rights and domestic laws of Ethiopia? Another issue is, are religious labor disputes different from their secular counterparts? And if so, why? And finally, do or do not the courts have ground to intervene when rights of church employees are violated by their superiors or their employers? Because church officials are also humans, so they can make mistakes and they can make bad decisions, unreasonable, discriminatory decisions. So what if those kind of decisions are made by religious officials? Okay, so the interests involved on this kind of case are, number one, there is on the one hand a desire to guarantee religious autonomy for religious institutions. That's widely recognized in all jurisdictions, I can say. And on the other hand, persons who are providing religious service, the clergy, are also human beings, and therefore they should be entitled to certain protections as their counterparts working for other institutions. Okay, so foreign experiences, so this case, Obst versus Germany, this case came from Germany and it was decided by the European Court of Human Rights. So I will outline the issues involved here and the conclusion reached by the European Court of Human Rights. So this person, Obst, was excommunicated because he left his marriage and he was engaged in an extramarital affair with another woman. He disclosed this fact to his superior, and the superior took this measure, which was dismissal from his job, because that was unacceptable in the eyes of the church. So when the case went to the German First Instance Court, the court found this dismissal to be illegal. But the appellate courts, the appellate labor court has said that it was necessary, the measure was necessary in the eyes of the church. It was necessary to keep the credibility of the church. So when this case went to the European Human Rights Court, so the court has said there was no violation of the convention. The convention, I mean, the European Human Rights Convention. Okay, so the reasons provided by the courts. Number one, this person was working for the Mormon Church, and so the court has said that given his background, he has grown up with the church, and therefore he was expected to be aware of the consequences of his action. And he has also signed a contract stipulating a compliance with marital fidelity. And the court has also taken into account the fact that the German domestic courts have adequately considered the interests of both parties, that of the employee and the church. So his position was also very important. He was a public relations officer at the Continental Bill for Europe. So given all the circumstances, and finally, the fact that the state of Germany had given this person an opportunity to challenge his dismissal in court, including constitutional review. So taking into account all the circumstances, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that there was no violation of the convention. Another case, very similar, again this person left his wife and again started to have an affair with another woman. He was the head of a musician for the Catholic Church, and his contract, because of his conduct, was terminated. And in the eyes of the church, this was a serious breach of the church's basic principles. So in the court, the church argued that the employee had committed adultery and bigamy, and his behavior breached basic church principles enshrined in the sanctity of marriage. On the other hand, the employee has said that his extramarital affair did not justify dismissal because he has done this outside the church, so he did not agree. He said the authority of the church should not go as far as his home. So this way the argument is raised by the two parties. In the end, the court, the European Court of Human Rights, citing Article 8, which provides for respect for private life and family. So this is what the court has said. So it said Article 8 does not merely compel the state to abstain from interference, negative obligation. It also imposes positive obligations inherent in unaffected respect for private life. These obligations apply even in the sphere of relations of individuals between themselves, i.e. the individual employee and his employing church. So the regard must be had to the fair balance which has to be struck between the general interests of the church and the individual employee. So taking into account also the circumstance of the person, he was an old person, and the court has said that there is a difficulty for this person to get another job if he's fired. And so for this reason, the court ruled that there was a violation of Article 8 of the convention. So the two cases are very similar in the sense that the ground of dismissal was an extramarital affair. But again, the decision were passed on the same day in 2010. But the court has reached different conclusions. So the reasons in this case for not agreeing with the domestic quotas are, number one, the German domestic quotas did not adequately balance the interests of the two parties. Labor quotas also failed to mention the de facto family life we had established subsequently. The other case is this one. I don't know how to pronounce the name, but I'm not familiar with this kind of name. So anyway, this case came from Romania, and a group of clergy and lay staff applied for registration of their trade union, which separated from an existing trade union. So the authorities refused to recognize or to accept their registration application. So the court in this case, the European Court of Human Rights, ruled that the Greek authorities violated the convention. It said the failure of Greek domestic quotas to establish whether the objective of the union as per regulations were incompatible with a democratic society, and even less that they represented a threat to democracy. So looking at the limitations provided under the convention, so the European Court of Human Rights was not convinced. Therefore, found that there was a violation of the convention. So this decision proved very controversial. So some people say that it is unjustifiable interference in matters of religion. In a similar case, interesting similar case, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the state cannot recognize two trade unions established by ministers or the clergy. So this contrasts with the position of the European Court of Human Rights. Coming to the U.S. experience, with regard to this experience, there are two legal regimes which are very basic in dealing with employment rights of churches. So the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So here there are two principles. One is the non-interference and the free exercise clauses. And on the other hand, there is a Civil Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination against any employee, regardless of the type of the employer or the employee. Discrimination against employees is outlawed by the Civil Rights Act. So on that, so the First Amendment provides guarantees autonomy for religious institutions. On the other hand, you have this Civil Rights Act, which says, which outlaws discrimination against employees. So the courts have to reconcile these two laws by creating this ministerial exception. So accordingly, ministers cannot invoke the Civil Rights Act protection because it's deemed to be inconsistent with the Constitution to require religious institutions to comply with equality and other labor rights. It's deemed to be it's deemed to be unjustifiable given the protection under the First Amendment to the Constitution. Therefore, the courts have ruled that statutory prohibition of discrimination does not apply to religious entities that are associated with religious institutions, corporations, associations, educational institutions. So employees working in this kind of institutions cannot invoke the Civil Rights Act. And another case is the Tomic versus Catholic Diocese of Peoria. So this person was a director, a music director and organist. He had some misunderstanding with the assistant bishop and he was fired. Later, he was impressed by a younger person and so he filed a lawsuit alleging that there was an age discrimination. He was fired because he was older. And therefore, in this case, the courts have ruled that we cannot investigate this case because it will ultimately lead to investigating a doctrinal subject matter. So the case was dismissed. But the courts and writers in this area say that these religious justifications cannot be accepted in the if discrimination is based on race, sex, and national origin. In these areas, there cannot be religious justification. So the authorities, to fire somebody, they must provide religious doctrinal justification. Otherwise, the courts could review. So in this case, Rewe Mamu versus Kote, so the court says that no matter how high a person might be in the hierarchy of a judicial church, he has still a right to have access to quarters. This person alleged he was subjected to sexual harassment, and therefore the court allowed him to review his case. So the point that I have to make is this. These foreign quarters have rather try to balance the interests of the two parties, the employers and the employing institutions. The courts do not close their doors to persons who are working in religious institutions. However, the foreign cases do not show consistency. In some cases, as I said earlier, sex-based discrimination, for example, is not acceptable, because there is no religious justification. But in this case, in Mangler versus the Salvation Army, a woman alleged that she was receiving less salary and fewer benefits compared to her male counterparts. But the court in this case has said that that would ultimately lead to examining a doctrinal issue and therefore will not decide on the merits of the case. This case, now, the case which I have discussed from the U.S. have been decided by the lower courts, the circuit courts, and no labor case from with regard to church employment has been decided by the Supreme Court. So in 2002, this case, Hosanna Tabor Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, was decided by the reached the Supreme Court for the first time. Therefore, the Supreme Court had an opportunity whether it agrees with decisions, the positions held by the lower courts. So, in this case, the Supreme Court appealed the ministerial exception principle that has been developed by the lower courts. So the court has said, it endorsed the ministerial exception and said, requiring a church to accept or retain an unwanted minister interferes with the internal governance of the church. By imposing an unwanted minister, the state infringes the free exercise clause, which protects a religious group's right to shape its own faith and mission through appointments. So, but the Supreme Court has not closed the door altogether, and it said, we express no view on whether the ministerial exception bars other types of suits, including actions by employees alleging breach of contract or tortious conduct by their religious employees. Therefore, in the, both in Europe and at least the European Court of Human Rights level and the US, persons working for religious institutions have access to court. That is the principle that transcends across all cases. And courts have attempted to balance the interests of religious institutions and their personnel. Coming to the Ethiopian part, the constitution has this wall of separation between state and religion. So Ethiopia is a secular state. And Article 11, sub-article 3, as I mentioned earlier, specifically prohibits state interference in affairs of religion and vice versa. And we have Article 27, which is the same as the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. It says freedom of, it guarantees freedom of religion and its different aspects. So we have Article 41, which protects the right to choose one's means of livelihood, occupation, profession. We have Article 25, which guarantees equality for the law, equal protection of the law, and Article 37, which guarantees the right of access to court. So again, at the international level, we have this international human rights instrument to which Ethiopia is a party, like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and at the continental level, we have the African Charter on Peoples and Human Rights. So all these instruments provide for access to court and fair hearing. And they also provide for effective remedy for everyone without any distinction. ICCPR in particular provides that the court has to be competent and established by law. In the, so the focus of this discussion, which is very brief, I'm going to finish soon. So this case, St. Mary Church versus Diakon Mirat Brahan and others. So six diakons were fired by the church officials. So they went to the court, and the first and the high court have decided in favor of the employees. And so a restatement and back pay was awarded for them. But when this case went to the Cassation Court, which reviews decisions of lower courts which contain basic error of law, so the court has said that, the Cassation Court ruled that secular courts, the state courts, have no jurisdiction to see complaints filed by persons working for religious institutions. Those who provide religious service, spiritual service. Reason, Article 11 of the Constitution, which provides for separation of state and religion. So my understanding is that, I think that this is what follows from the decision. A contrario, religious bodies have the freedom to take any measure they deem necessary. So access to court is totally barred with regard to these persons. The court, of course, made distinction between employees who provide or whose jobs are directly related with the religion, priests, clergymen, diacons. So these are the ones who are barred from having access to court. Others, accountants, storekeepers, gardeners, these are entitled to have access to court. The point is, in my opinion, this court, the ruling failed to adequately consider. So what if somebody is fired on ground which are contrary to the law, the constitutional rights, because of his ethnic background, for example? What if the decision is entirely arbitrary, discriminatory? So in my opinion, this is not acceptable. So the court should have taken into account the circumstances. It should deal with this issue on case-by-case basis, rather than totally banning these people from having access to court. So this case, now we are a civil law country, and lower court judges are not expected to follow the interpretation of the high courts. But the government wanted to authorize, or has authorized, the Cassation Court to have to make binding decisions that bind all lower courts, federal and state, in order to bring about uniformity in the interpretation of the law. And therefore, this ruling affects a significant section of society. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church alone has more than 500,000 employees. And therefore, these people, when they are subject to twice discriminatory measures, they cannot bring a court case. So for this reason, I disagree with the final decision made by the court. So this is again contrary to the position of the other courts, which have discussed the European Court of Human Rights and US courts, which decide on case-by-case basis rather than an outright rejection of a religious employment case. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kajas. Question and comment.
So thank you very much for that review of this complex set of cases. I have a question that, let me just state the question then explain why I think it's a question. It's significant that Article 11, if I understood correctly, articulates separation of church and state in the Ethiopian Constitution. Article 25 has something that's a free exercise type right. Now, one of the interesting questions, there's a difference between the U.S. cases here, Hosanna-Tabor, and the Shute and Obst decisions. It's true that in all of those cases, the court has taken initial jurisdiction, but it's the European court tends to be a little bit more inclined to look at things on a case-by-case basis. My own reading of the Shute case, which is the Borgenes case, is that if the German court had adequately balanced, that person may have lost his job because, after all, he is someone who is not just a random employee, he is actually playing the music of the mass at the core of the religious circumstance. So, but the German court hadn't taken all the factors into account. Maybe it would have come out differently if they had. Now, in the United States, in Hosanna-Tabor, it was absolutely, this was a very hard case in some ways because it was a woman who was disabled and was suing under the ADA, the Americans for Disabilities Act. So she was a very sympathetic plaintiff, and yet the court said because there was in the United States not only free exercise but also establishment, that there was a really strong jurisdictional divide between what the state could do and what the churches could do. After all, the religious employees knew about the structure of the church, knew the religious rules, and so my question is, how much difference does it make that Ethiopia, like the United States, has a strong establishment clause, or a strong separation principle, because what that may be more absolute, it's not something that you balance the way you think about it in the United States, it's just a divide, and the state shouldn't step across it. So my question is, how much difference do you think that makes?
Okay, my answer is it makes a big difference. Reason? Well, of course the constitutions are, I think, similar in their wording, but the courts, the Ethiopian courts, overstepped and said that no matter what the content of your complaint might be, you cannot bring it if you are a clergy. So I think these officials in the church are also humans. They can make mistakes. They can be arbitrary. So how can you deny somebody to have his day in court? I think that is too much. So the U.S. court is, yes, they can be, in my understanding, very conservative, pro-church, not individuals, but still they give access. So they decide on case-by-case basis, but there is lack of consistency, definitely. For example, the McLaren, the the Salvation Army case, for example, the woman alleged she was discriminated because of her sex, but the court has said that this will lead to examining doctrinal issue. They do not, they are not consistent in their approaches, but still there is a possibility to go to the court.
Thank you. Another question?
I'm a priest in a Anglican church, and I know we have a canon of the church that determines autonomy of the church. The church has its legal backing, internal legal backing. I don't know when the offense is committed, whatever offense. The church has a code that's normally constituted, the person's tried. Good bias. If you allow the state to interfere in church matters, how do you see the autonomy of the church? Don't you think that will be badly affected in the near future?
I'm not saying the state should interfere in religious church matters. But there are issues which are related with the church doctrines, with the faith. But what if somebody is, for example, my case, my example from U.S., the Poland case. This person alleged that he was subjected to sexual harassment, and there is no religious justification for that. So I think we can learn from that Ethiopian court should also adopt that approach. Somebody is fired or demoted because of his ethnic background or whatever, without any religious justification. So those sorts of things should be scrutinized by the courts, rather than saying no for all types of cases.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So we have finished this session. Please appreciate it.